We praise God for how good He has been to us. Amen? And He has been good indeed. I'm so excited to continue on in this Celebrate sermon series that we've been working through, and just to hear some of the conversations that we've been able to have together about how God has been at work in your lives, and in just the different ways in which we have to celebrate all that God is in fact doing in us. Today we are going to take an opportunity to look back a little bit. But today we're actually going to look back at some things that, truth be told, maybe we really rather not look at, sometimes. Today we're going to look back at 2020 and all of that has been with, coronavirus and isolation and masks and just everything that has come with that. And as we look back, we're going to endeavor to try to determine what is it that we have to celebrate even in this past year that we have been a part of, right? So before we jump in all that, though, if you would just join me for a moment of prayer. God, we thank you so much for your faithfulness. We thank you, God, for reason to celebrate today. We thank you, God, for breath that you have given us, and we thank you, Lord, for the opportunity we have to come together corporately and to worship your name and to glorify you, to exalt your name above every name, Father, for you are good and you are worthy of all praise. Lord, I thank you for the opportunity that we have to dive into your word today, Lord, and we ask, God, in the name of Jesus, that you would speak into our lives. Lord, I ask that you would speak through me even now, God, that my words would be your words, and that your message alone would be proclaimed and heard and received in this place even now. God, I ask in the name of Jesus, Lord, that you would encourage us and challenge us and convict us and motivate us. And more than anything, God, I just ask that you would help us to say yes to you. Whatever that might look like, whatever that might mean, help us to say yes to you today, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Over this last year, I think a lot of us could probably write a long list of things that we have lost over this last year, and some things as simple as that most all of us have lost the schedule that we had before, right? We have lost the some of the social interactions that we had. We lost some of the places that we were able to go. Some of us lost some lost jobs and finances. Some lost apartments and housing and had to find new places. Some we all found different things that we had lost. Even some, and particularly we know this well in our congregation, some had lost loved ones and friends and coworkers to this disease that has now claimed over 400,000 lives just in our country alone. And in the midst of this pandemic, it can be very easy to find ourselves focused on all that we have lost, right? And let me just say, first off, it doesn't do us any good to try to imagine or pretend like we haven't lost. I don't want you to think that that's what I'm conveying today. I think it's important for us to acknowledge that there are some that life is different today than it was March of last year, right? It's important for us to acknowledge that there are things and people that are not here now that were here a year ago. And so as we acknowledge that and as we understand that, how is it that we, how do we make sense of that? Like, how do we recognize God as a God who we need to celebrate? How do we find praise in our heart when we understand and recognize that there's so much that is different now, and there's so much there's so many difficult things that we've had to navigate? How do we transition from those difficulties to praise and to celebration? Well, today we're going to find ourselves focusing in 1 Peter chapter 4, and so we'll read that here in a moment, but if you have your Bibles with you, I want to encourage you to go ahead and turn your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 4, and these verses mean a lot to me. These are verses that are that I have focused on even just in my own life and in my family for a long time. But I think that they particularly speak to where we are now, not just as a country, because I think when we talk about the country, it's too general. It's not us. I mean, like, I think these verses actually speak to where we are right now, like individually, in some of the things that we are struggling through. And I just want to begin just in reading verse 7, right? So 1 Peter chapter 4, beginning in verse 7, and let me just start with this first verse that says, "The end of all things is near. Therefore, be alert and of sober mind so that you may pray." So many things that are just interesting to me just in that one verse there. But it starts out by saying that the end is near, right? And so here the author is speaking to the church and basically is encouraging them and letting them know. And in fact, I would encourage you to read 1st and 2nd Peter, because one of the things that you'll find is that the audience that is being written to is struggling with some very real things. They're dealing with persecution because of their faith, which may even be, I suppose, an argument could be made that might even be more difficult than the pandemic we've gone through, because the pandemic is no respecter of faith or persons, right? It's just if you get it, you get it, and if you don't, you don't. But these people, they were struggling through the persecution that they were receiving because of their choice to follow Jesus, right? And yet the author is speaking into their lives to let them know, like, hey, I know that there are some difficulties happening right now, but you got to understand that this is not all there is. The end is near, right? Now, we could probably have a really interesting conversation on, like, if he said the end was near, and this was like 2,000 years ago, like, what does near mean exactly, right? I think the truth of the matter is that we are all dealing, I think the end is kind of near for us almost every day of our lives. There's always things that are near the end, right? We experienced that quite a bit through this pandemic, right? And in February of last year, the end was near, and there were a lot of things that came to an end come March that we didn't realize were coming. In all of this, I suppose the point is that change happens in our lives, and when that change happens, that means that something is ending and something else is beginning. For some, that's fairly minor, and it might be little things here and there, but for others, it's rather significant, and it affects every part of our lives. The author here is trying to communicate to the audience that when we recognize that the end is near, then we can prepare for that accordingly. What it makes me think about, and I wish it didn't, but what it makes me think about is when sometimes at my house something will get lost, right? And usually when that something gets lost, it feels like the end is near, right? Have you been there? Have you been there? There's sort of a pattern, if you will, that happens when something is lost, and it usually starts out with a child coming to me saying, "Do you know where this is?" Right, and I will almost 100% of the time say, "I have no clue. No clue. It's not mine. I don't keep up with it," right? That's your business. You need to know where this is, right? The next question is almost always, does mama know where it is? Which is a good question, because most of the time she does, right? But on the chance that mama doesn't know where it is, the next step is to just fall on the couch and give up, because the end is near, right? I cannot tell you how many times I've heard, "Well, great, we're never going to find it now." Right? Like, aren't we talking about the same thing that you lost yesterday? Like, and we found it in like 5 minutes, and, you know, we might have had to look for things, but it was there. You know, we might have had to move something. Like, I don't know if you've had kids that do that. Like, if it's not like right in front of you, like on top of the blanket, then it's not. If it's under the blanket, it's gone forever, right? Gone forever. So, sometimes when, and I realize, you know, this example that I'm using here is sort of making light, but I think it does kind of help explain that sometimes when we might lose something, it feels like, oh, great, without, that's never coming back again, and what am I going to do now? And sometimes when we go through hard times, it can be really easy to just kind of feel like I'm never going to be able to get life back like it was before, so I might as well just give up, right? And sometimes we get to that give up a little too quick, right? I wonder if that's not even part of what the audience here in 1 Peter was struggling with. Maybe as they were in the midst of their persecution, they were kind of struggling with this desire to maybe give up as well. I mean, what's the point of following Jesus if it just means that it's going to make life harder? Isn't following Jesus supposed to make life easier? Right? Now, what I find interesting in this as well, even just in this verse 7 here, that he says that the end of all things is near, therefore be alert and sober-minded, so that you may pray. Now, don't get me wrong, I'm not saying prayer is bad, but that's probably not what I would have guessed that verse would have ended with, right? I would have thought that you'd be alert and of sober mind so that you can serve others. Be alert and of sober mind so that you can see God work miracles through you. Be alert and of sober mind so that maybe 100 other things. But the author here says, be alert and of sober mind so that you can pray. Like, what is the big thing about prayer? Why is it that is so important to keep in mind? Why is it maybe that we are so quick to forget prayer? Why is it that would be the thing that when times get hard that would be what we might lose the quickest, right? I don't know if you've been there, but I have found that for myself, that when I find myself in a hard time, I tend to go into this mode of, okay, well, how can I fix the situation? How can I get myself out of this hard time? How can I get myself into something that is more productive? How can I make myself feel better? And sometimes I get so focused on how I can get myself out of it that I forget that I need to go to God, who is the only one who can get myself out of it, right? And so, I don't know, maybe you deal with that sometimes too, but if we're not careful, we might find ourselves just falling on the couch, giving up looking for that which is lost, because we think if I can't do it myself, then it cannot be found. And what the author here is saying to his audience is, no, use prayer as a milestone, if you will, to be able to know if you are in fact alert and of sober mind. Because if you're going through struggle and you find yourself drifting away from prayer, what that probably means is you're more into your flesh than you are submitting to God's Holy Spirit. What that means is you're probably trying to do things on your own more than you are really looking to God to do things on your behalf. And so prayer actually works as a way to sort of prepare our minds to find what is lost. Prayer is that thing that sort of reorients us to recognize that, you know what? My hope is not lost. I may not be able to find what I'm looking for right now, but prayer helps reorient us to look. It reorients us to pick up some blankets and look underneath. Reorients us to go to a different room and try to think back to where that lost thing may have been used last. Prayer is what brings our mind back to the reality that God is able and that our situation is not the end, right? See, prayer is kind of that thing that prepares us for our celebration and our praise, right? Like, prayer doesn't mean that we found it already, but prayer helps us to sort of get the gumption that we need to get up and go look for that which is lost, so that when we find it, we might have that heart of praise ready to go, so that we're not just sitting back defeated. Because here's what I found as well. In my house, anyway, maybe you've never experienced this, but in my house, what I found is that if someone has already given up looking, then even if I were to find it, they don't even care anymore, which actually kind of aggravates me. I'm going to be honest with you. Like, when they get into a negative space of it's never going to happen and I'm never going to find it, then when I find it and bring it to them, then they're just like, thanks. What? Like, I didn't have to look for that. I didn't even care about that. I still don't want to find it. In fact, I want to hide it again just so you don't have it anymore now, right? But because they were in a negative frame of mind, they're not even in a position to be able to celebrate the fact that they found what was lost before. And we can find ourselves in that same place that when we see or we feel like the end is near, sometimes we get in such a negative state that we lose our opportunity to celebrate God even when we do find it. I better keep going here. Verse 8, 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 8 and 9. Says, above all, love each other deeply because love covers over a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. So here's, I want you to sort of get this picture in your mind. So again, imagine that one of my kids has lost something, and so we've determined, okay, we're going to look for it, right? Love is what actually turns the light switch on for what will be celebration, right? So again, imagine you're looking for something in a dark room, right? Love is that thing which will actually turn the light on, which will actually illuminate the opportunity to find that which was lost in order that you might be able to get to a point of celebration. However, grumbling is what will 100% turn the lights off every single time. Oh, I hope you hear this morning, right? Because it's so easy to fall into the grumbling, isn't it? It's so easy to find ourselves in a hard spot. And again, I'm not trying to devalue or to belittle the hard places that we find ourselves. Like, yes, we find ourselves in some very difficult situations sometimes. The audience here that is being written to, like, they were in a really difficult situation. I'm not belittling that at all. In fact, what I am saying is that what makes our situations difficult is what proves how good our God is. It's what proves how big He is. See, if all of our situations, if all of our issues were really, really small, then our God would not need to be very big to handle that. But even in the midst of our problems being large, our big God can handle that without any problem whatsoever. So what we have to do is make sure that when we find ourselves in trouble, we don't just fall to grumbling, which can be so easy to do, because all that will do is make it harder to find what we've lost. But if we can get to a point where we can actually love on others, where we can show hospitality, where we can put our spiritual gifts to work, then we will find that the light switch comes on. We'll begin to see things that we didn't see before. We'll be able to find some things that we would not have been able to find otherwise. Now, here's the rub, though. That means that you're going to be loving on people before you've actually found what's been lost. And that requires faith. That means that you've got to make the conscious decision to love on people even when you don't feel like loving on people. Amen, somebody. That means that you've got to make the conscious decision to actually give to others even when people are not given to you. That means you've got to make the conscious decision not to be negative in a conversation even when everyone around you is trying to be negative. Because once we get into that frame set, that mindset or that frame of mind of grumbling, all of a sudden it makes finding what is lost so much harder. But if we would dare to walk by faith and love others in the way that Jesus Christ has loved us, then what we will find is it becomes so much easier for us to find what has been lost even in our own lives. Verse 10 and 11. It says, each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. And if anyone serves, they should do so with the strength that God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. See, what we need to understand here is that God is worthy of our praise in all things. Amen? Like, and now, again, I realize that's easier for me to ask, you know, for me to say, oh, amen, and yo, yes, amen, pastor, yes, definitely. But when you're in the midst of that hard thing, sometimes it can be hard to find that reason to praise. Sometimes it can be a lot easier to hold on to that grumble than it can be to hold on to that love. It can be real easy to find reason to blame God than it can be to praise God. But I want you to watch a testimony that's going to be shown here of how Ruben Lopez was able to find some praise even in the midst of this pandemic over this last year.
Church full of people that we could contact or we could see, talk, physically talk to hardly anybody. And that was very difficult when it gets very lonely for me. I got depressed. We didn't have a funeral that we couldn't attend. And that was heartbreaking, really, to me. But it's been quite an experience not being able to touch anybody. I think most of us are that way. It was Faith Promise time. And I had decided, I don't know if I'm going to get to Faith Promise, and then I felt really convicted. Here it is. It's time to give the money, and I get a stimulus check. I realized, oh, the Faith Promise is coming out. So he provided $1,200 the first time. $1,200. That's $1,000 for the Faith Promise, and I still get another $200. Oh, wait a minute. I need to give tithe out of the $1,200, so there's $120. And so that makes it $1,120. And then I said, well, wait a minute, people need money. But it wasn't me saying it, it was the Spirit telling me, well, people need money, but we're in a bind here. I said, well, there are the other $80. So it went toward the Faith Promise, the tithe, and the benevolence. That was all $1,200. And yet he provided everything that I needed. I've not been without. And the Lord has really blessed me. The Lord showed me that He's able. Last October, my air conditioner went out completely. So I needed a new compressor, a new everything. I said, that was almost $4,000. This past Monday, I was talking to my insurance agent. And she said, oh yeah, but if you recall last year, it went up $400, but it's because we gave you a new policy that would include repairs to your stove, your underground piping, air conditioning. I said, whoa, wait a minute. I said, what do I have to do? So she said, well, just send me the bill. Send me what you paid and the order. I said, okay. Hey, so I got $3,500 off of that. And that's the Lord just giving and giving and giving. And it's not that I'm so faithful, it's that He's very faithful.
Amen.
And He keeps giving to us. It's been a growing experience for me, very much so. More than discouraging, it's been encouraging to know that other people do care about you. God works through His church. And it's just amazing what He does. Just amazing. and how much he loves us.
Amen. You know, again, it could have been easy for Reuben, even in spite of the ways that God was blessing and providing. It could have been easy for him to focus entirely on what he did not have, right? On the fact that we couldn't be here to worship together for a while, the fact that he couldn't be at the funeral that he wanted to be at, the fact that he couldn't be around family in the same way that he was before. It was entirely possible that he could have done that. Yet, in the midst of this time, he chose to focus on those things that God was providing. He chose to recognize that God is faithful, even when our lives are not as we might want them to be. See, praise and celebration is not what we do after hard times are over, right? It's praise and celebration is not what we do once everybody has the vaccine. Praise and celebration is not what we do once COVID is considered to be eradicated, right? Praise and celebration is what we do through hard times. Praise and celebration is not just what we do when we find those things that we have lost, but celebration is actually what helps us find it. Celebration is recognizing that, you know what, even though I might not have that thing that I lost and that thing that I want back, like I know that God has provided for me in so many different ways that I'm going to focus on what I do have in him. And I may not have the money that I want, and I may not be able to have the relationships that I want, and I may not even be able to have the people in my life that I want, but you know what, I've got Jesus, and I've got his salvation, and I've got his forgiveness, and I've got his Holy Spirit, and I've got his word, and if that's all I have, then I'm going to celebrate. And as I continue to look to restore those things that a pandemic may have taken away, or that my history might have taken away, or that victimization may have taken away, or whatever it might be, even though those things might still be lost, I'm going to celebrate because God has been good even as I'm looking for my lost things, right? If God loved me enough to give me grace, then I'm going to celebrate and share that grace with others, whether times are hard or not. If I can speak as one who speaks the very words of God, and I want you to be clear here now, the author is not writing this to pastors and to preachers and to elders and to leaders. He is speaking this to the church. And what he says is that if you can speak, then speak as one who is speaking the very words of God. If I can speak as one who is speaking the very words of God, then I'm going to celebrate that because I can speak. Right? If God is providing for me his strength, then I'm going to celebrate the fact that I can serve others with his strength. If God has been faithful to me, then I'm going to celebrate that, and I'm going to return that faithfulness right on back to him. See, if in my love, he's going to be praised. In my speech, he's going to be praised. In my strength, he's going to be praised. In my faith, he's going to be praised. In all things, may God be praised through Christ Jesus, who receives all glory and power forever and ever. Amen. See, praise is not what we do when everything is over and the dust is settled and everything has worked in our favor. Praise is how we get to that point. And when we fail to celebrate in the midst of our struggle, we may find that it's harder for us to get on the other side of our struggle. Celebration is actually an act of faith that we carry out in order to see that God is already faithful, even as we are waiting for him to provide in other ways in our lives. I want to invite the worship team to come on back up. And as they do, I want us to recognize as well and remember again that the very clear truth that this last year has been hard, right? In a lot of different ways. And let's just be honest, it's not even just this last year. A lot of us have had to endure things in life that are just hard, right? Relationships, maybe even family relationships that are difficult, that are hard to navigate. Maybe communication doesn't happen well. Maybe there are some really hurtful things that have happened. Even as I mentioned last week, you know, maybe there are things even that are connected, people that are connected with the church that have really hurt your feelings in different ways. Like we have all gone through hard times, and some of us walk in that struggle each and every day. We don't have to ignore that. We don't have to pretend like it never happened. But rather, I think it's time for us to say, you know what? Yes, those things happened, but I'm not waiting to celebrate anymore. I'm not waiting until all that is resolved to give God glory. I'm not waiting until I feel better to praise God. I'm not waiting until COVID is gone to praise God. I'm not waiting until everything in my life is perfect to give God celebration. No, I'm going to choose to celebrate Him now because He's good in my life now, because He sent Jesus to die for me now. And so I don't have to wait to celebrate until everything is perfect. I'm going to celebrate Him now because He's already worthy of my praise. God does not receive praise when we try to find things on our own. God doesn't receive praise when we try to just pull ourselves up by our own bootstraps. God doesn't receive praise when we just try to fake it till we make it. That's not what this is. No, what this is a step of faith. And that's what I want to invite you into this morning. I want to encourage you to take that step of faith in the midst of your struggle. Yes, I know that you're hurting. Hear me clearly. I believe you that you're hurting. I know that the hurts are real. And I'm not asking you to pretend like they're not. I'm not asking you just to fake it. I'm not asking you just to repress it. What I'm asking you to do is to trust God in spite of it. And just be willing to thank Him for what He's done, even as you're waiting to find what is lost. Because when you walk by faith with Him, what you'll find is He will illuminate your life in such a way that what is lost will be found quickly. It'll be just what you need. But it's not until we take those steps of faith that we find that. I want to encourage you today. Let today be the day where you say, you know what? Pandemic might not be over. Struggle might not be over. Hard times might not be over. Money might not be in the bank. The relationship still might be messed up. The kids might still be crazy. My husband might be out of his mind, right? All those things might still be wrong. But I'm not going to wait to celebrate what God has done in my life any longer. I am going to walk by faith in Him, and I'm going to put my trust in Him. I'm going to surrender my life to Jesus. I'm going to let Him work in me, and I'm not just going to sit back and let the rocks cry on my behalf. No, I'm going to praise God because He's worthy even as I wait for my lost things. Stand with me if you would, please. As we sing this last song here, I want to encourage you. If you want to come to an altar of prayer, feel free to come in and do that. Maybe the Connect cards are there in the seats, and maybe you just want to fill one of those out and just say, Pastor, I just need you to be praying for me. I'm going through some struggle, and I want to praise God, but sometimes I don't know how, and I just want to know somebody is praying for me to help me in my celebration, and I want to pray for you as well. So if it's filling out a Connect card, do that. If it's coming to an altar of prayer, do that. Whatever it is that God is speaking into your life, walk by faith now. Celebrate now, because He's worthy. Let's sing.